Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Bunny Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:38 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is March 19th. Well, today the Nasdaq pulled back rather sharply. It was led lower by Facebook, and it has now failed to hold the move above 7,000. The dynamic of the failure is larger than the dynamic of the breakout. Therefore, it is looking increasingly like a failed upside break. When we look at the progression of higher reaction lows evident since the beginning of February, then the most recent of those is the one that was posted at the beginning of March. If that upward bias, where we have higher highs and higher lows, is going to be sustained, then this low around the 6,650 area is going to have to hold. If it fails to hold, then that opens up the potential for a retest of that low that we saw in early February. And the Nasdaq has been the clear outperformer. It was alone among the developed market indices to push on to new high ground after the February lows. A number of emerging market indices were able to do that. I'll post some of those in a moment. But the underperformance of the large cap technology shares has to be, paid attention to, considering that they are the clear leaders in this bull market that we've seen so far. It further contributes to this corrective phase evident in stock markets over the course of the last 6 weeks. And this corrective phase is not yet over. And that's particularly the case when we look at, for example, the Dow Jones. The Dow Jones had accelerated to that peak that we saw in February, and it experienced one of the deeper pullbacks. But perhaps the more important point is that its subsequent rebound was not as impressive. And then, rather than posting a higher reaction low in the middle of March, it posted a lower low, and it was down about 400 points in here today. Well, it is now closer to that early March reaction low than the Nasdaq or indeed the S&P 500. And the big question, I think, and many people are going to be asking through the balance of this week, is the extent to which it is going to be capable of finding support. Well, it is probably worth just taking a look at that Facebook chart, because it is back to that $170 area. This is a natural area where people will be asking whether this is a buy-the-dip scenario, because on every other occasion since 2013, a reversion back to the mean, most particularly when Facebook has dipped just back below the mean, has represented a clear buying opportunity. And the share has been largely range-bound for 6 months already. So the question now is whether it is going to be capable of bouncing from here. Well, a lot of the risk that is represented in what we're seeing in the media is politically driven. The election of Donald Trump and the rise and success of revolutionary movements, variously described as populist in Europe in particular, but also in Asia, have been attributed to social media, particularly in the case of Europe and the US. And the blame for that is falling at the foot of the largest social media groups, which are Facebook and Google. Well, on the one hand, that represents a short-term challenge, but it doesn't deny the fact that the ability of these companies to market to very specific demographics or emotional or personality types works. I think that is something that doesn't get nearly enough of play, but it is a subject that will not be lost on advertisers. So I think that is something that has got to be borne in mind, and it also suggests that should Facebook pull back in a violent manner, then when it eventually does begin to show evidence of support building, then it's probably going to be a buy again. But that is, of course, subject to it not finding support in the course of the next few days, and it could well find support in the next few days. Google has had its largest pullback since 2008, and that is not a condition that that a share generally just walks away from. So it is currently around $1,100. It was down from almost 40 in here today. And we know what a lengthy consolidation can look like on Google, because it's had plenty of them. And they can last for anything from a few months up to 2.5 years. Considering that It raced to get to 1200 and then pulled back by $200, its largest pullback since 2008. Then I think what we can anticipate from Google is ranging, that every time it gets back up towards that $1200 area, that it is going to pull back, and that the most likely scenario is that we are in for a pretty prolonged period of ranging for this particular share. Well, Microsoft is not in at the social media sector, but that also does look like a failed upside break. And we had the downside key reversal on Tuesday of last week. And what that suggests is that it is at least going to hold up the share for the short term. And it opens up the potential that we could be ranging for a while longer, which will allow that overextension relative to the trend mean to be unwound. Again, this would not be the first range that we see on something like Microsoft. It spent a good part of the latter half of 2015 and all the way through to the middle of 2016 going sideways in approximately an $8 range. It could quite easily do the same thing on this occasion, and I think that that would be perhaps the most benign set of circumstances. If we do see acceleration higher, if, for example, these very short-term reversals turn around in very short order and then race higher, then we'll be in the latter stages of the third psychological perception stage of this medium-term bull market. So I think it really would be the most benign scenario that we spend at least some time ranging. Then when we look at the FTSE 100, two events really did weigh on the index in here today. The first was Micro Focus International, and the share halved. So it's having indigestion, having bought Hewlett-Packard's Enterprises division last year. And that has now translated into, I think, much reduced sales forecasts for the company. So the share has pulled back, but probably a bit. It really has pulled back incredibly aggressively, so there is potential here that I think, considering that the forward PE is in the region of 6 at this stage, that the selling was probably overdone. And the other point that has weighed on the FTSE has been the nominal value of the pound. So the pound was all the way up above 114 here today, and we can see clearly that this is a very inert range where the pound versus the euro tends to range in just over a 3 cent amplitude. It gets up towards 114 and fails. It's done that now on at least 4 separate occasions, and this is the fifth. And yes, the UK and the Europeans have agreed to the format for a transition agreement, but thorny issue of the Irish border remains unresolved, and until that has been resolved in a satisfactory manner, then we're likely to have continued ranging. It is almost unconscionable that the UK would cut loose Northern Ireland or renege on the Good Friday Agreement. So what with that, I think on the or at least I think that that risk being relatively small, the most likely scenario is that the Brexit camp within the Conservative Party will eventually be challenged. Quite whether it is within the ability of Theresa May to do so and still retain power is I think a very big open question, and what that suggests is that we are going to have some additional ranging. And considering that the FTSE is now right back towards that 7,000 area, there was the other rather large cap sector that was pulling back in here today, and it was the mining sector. So that was on the back of lower iron ore prices. And the iron ore spot price, they've changed the ticker over the course of the last 6 months, but iron ore prices were down. And what we can see very clearly here is a triangular pattern evolving, that we have a very clear progression of higher reaction lows since really it's late 2015. And we have a progression of lower rally highs within this range. Well, I can give you another example of what that looks like. When We go back. It's a completely unrelated sector, but Baidu had a very similar pattern. That it was a very triangular pattern, and that persisted for really quite a long time. But then you get a very clear and emphatic breakout. Well, then the question is now going to be, in what direction will that iron ore price break out? Well, it's already well below its peak. So if it were to break lower, well, then we know that there's a great deal of additional supply gets taken out of the market if it starts to fall below $60. Well, when we look at some of the larger iron ore producers, then BHP Billiton is now back below its trend mean, and this is about where, if it's going to find support, it would want to be getting about it. And Rio Tinto is also back in the region of the trend mean. And Vale also has a reasonably similar condition, although it has not pulled back by as much. But we had weakness right across the mining sector, and a number of the copper producers were caught up in that selling pressure. And copper prices have been largely range bound for the first few months of this year, with a downward bias, coming back towards that $3 area on the COMEX contract. And this is a rather key area. It does need to hold that $3 area if the I think potential for additional upside is to be given the benefit of the doubt. So I think all three of those factors have been weighing on the FTSE in here today. And of the three, I think it is perhaps the mining sector and some of the selling pressure that we've seen in the last few days in those miners is perhaps the most pressing issue. The other two issues don't at least have short-term potential to contribute to additional weakness in the market, at least in my view. Well, we're having increasing pressure in India, and the Nifty index was down an additional 100 points in here today, and it's coming back towards that 10,000 level. And that 10,000 level is a big psychological area. Modi's party lost three by-elections last week, and one of the things that I do is that whenever I travel and I meet Indian people, I ask them how are things in India and what are their opinions of Modi? And on the plane to Dubai a few weeks ago, there were quite a few Indians. So I was asking them what do they think of Modi, and what I found interesting was that none were willing to defend him. And I thought that was quite interesting. And what it suggests to me is that his majority is not going to be as wide the next time they have an election, which will be next year, and that we are starting to see some of the luster come off the administration, which is not at all surprising. That there is no way that he could have fulfilled the ambitions for his administration that were people were adhering to when he got such a resounding majority. The index is now it, this is the largest pullback that we've seen since at least 2016. And it will require clear upward dynamic to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I think something that we cannot forget is that India is a volatile market, and that it is prone to occasional larger pullbacks, and they have universally been opportunities to increase long positions from a longer-term investor's perspective. So 10,000 is a big psychological level. There is ample potential for it to represent an area of support, and if we do indeed see a clear upward dynamic, well, then it's likely to represent a low of at least short and potentially medium-term significance. The banking sector in India has often been a lead indicator, and it remains weak, and it is trading below the trend mean. So it does also need to really start posting clear upward dynamics to confirm that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. Next, I'd like to talk about Japan. And the Nikkei was pretty much unchanged, and it has been ranging above this 21,000 level for the last 6 weeks. This area represents the peak that we saw back in 2015, and 20,000 is a big psychological level, and it's right in the region of the trend mean. So there is the potential that this area is going to hold, or the 20,000 area is going to hold, but that as long as we don't see weakness in the yen, or this progression of lower rally highs broken for the dollar, then I suspect that the Japanese market is going to remain quiet. When we look at the second section, it was in negative territory in here today, and that also helps to confirm that we are in a more rangy environment for the second section, which has been such a reliable lead indicator for the wider market. Then the region of 7,000 will need to hold if this trend is going to remain consistent. Well, I did say that I would highlight some of the indices that did break upwards to new high ground, and well, Indonesia is almost back to the region of the trend mean. Then if we look at the Vietnamese index, that has pushed on to new all-time highs, and it is a little bit overbought in the short term. So considering that we are still in a corrective phase for Wall Street, then the likelihood of an index like Vietnam being able to continue to rally in a singular manner, I think, is rather unlikely, and that it is probably prone to at least some pause and consolidation. But it is within these emerging markets that people have been seeing value, and not least because, for example, Thailand has broken up out of what was a four-year range, and so far this has been a relatively, I think, inert range that has unwound a good part of the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. And against this background, that when people are looking around the world at what represents value, well, there's still a lot of political pressure on Europe, and nobody really knows how it is all going to work out. And the European markets are continuing to underperform. Whereas emerging market Asia really does look like a clear outperformer, and it trades at a somewhat lower valuation. So that is where some of that money has been going, that's been bargain hunting. But the big question is, what are we going to expect from the US markets? And I suspect that the most likely scenario is additional ranging. And considering that we have had a rather impressive rally over the last couple of weeks, then in the next couple of weeks, we're probably going to get some downward pressure within this overall ranging environment. Then, if we look at gold, it's steadied up a bit in here today. It's continuing to hold the lower side of this range above $1,300. And this longer term chart of gold is, I think, the more important one, because it has this clear rounding characteristic. There's the massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend at the beginning of 2016 and the subsequent period of right-hand extension, which is something that we often see when we get type 2 bottoms. Obviously, we will not have clear evidence that this period of consolidation is over until it is breaking upwards to new recovery highs. And so far, the range has been relatively inert, considering that the volatility that we've been treated to with gold over the course of the last decade. So as long as it is holding the region of $1,300 and the trend mean, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to higher lateral ranging. And oil prices were a little bit steadier in here today, but not quite able to break upwards. Prince Salman is in the US on a charm offensive right now, so he is trying to talk up the price of oil and the allure of the Saudi Aramco IPO. And as long as they are willing to continue to support prices, and we are still in a period of almost synchronized global economic expansion, then that's generally rather positive for the oil price. Nonetheless, it's, I think, going to be rather difficult for prices to sustain a move above 70 without some sort of geopolitical issue to shove it up there, because we simply have such a large amount of additional supply that becomes economic from non-OPEC members or affiliated members above that level. And then when we look at the bond markets, well, the US 10-year Treasury is at 2.85%, and it was up 0.1% in here today, not quite able to hold all of the advance, but this 2.8 level is holding. This has been a very steady consolidation below that 3% level. It's also unwinding the short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and that's progressing relatively slowly. But by and large, the fact that this yield is holding up here and that this is the whole reason behind it is because of additional supply rather than any specific inflation scares so far, but rather that there is an awful lot of supply that's going to come into this market, and that if you're going to have all of this additional supply, then people are going to demand a higher yield. And I think that is pretty simple. But what it does suggest is that we are going to see the yield pushing through 3% at some point this year, and that is going to represent a headwind for a significant number of fixed income assets. And when we look at the outlook for the high yield market, then the junk bond ETF has encountered resistance below the trend mean, and it does look like it's rolling over again. So, despite the fact that we have not yet seen a significant uptick in high yield spreads, what we are seeing is that because yields have stayed higher for longer, that is putting downward pressure on the yields themselves. They're simply falling in tandem with the rising yield on treasuries. They're not yet falling faster. When they start falling faster than treasury prices, that's when this spread will start to break out. But generally speaking, it is that the high yield spread has to be rallying for a while before it starts to represent a significant headwind to stock market performance. But we certainly know that when it started rallying in 2014, it was in late 2014 and early 2015 that the stock market started going sideways. And we had some really quite large bouts of volatility in 2015 and early 2016. And it really wasn't until those high yield spreads started coming down that the stock market took off again. So this is an index that is really worth keeping an eye on because it gives us clues to what we can expect from stock markets over not the shorter term, but perhaps more over the medium term. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.